Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world, and today we got a street legend, Lil Sody, in the building. How you feeling, man?
L.A., I'm blessed. Thank you for having me, man.
My pleasure.
You responded quickly.
Oh, yeah.
Like a man, I respect you for that. All the homies, the gangsters, they watching, they respect you for that. I'm just here to speak for the people, bro.
Right. I mean, this was a recommendation from AD. AD was like, "Yeah, this guy got a good-ass story to tell. You got to get him on the show."
No, that's my brother, man. I had met AD a while back at one of my shows I did with Joe Moses.
Okay.
Young, so when I seen him now, he had got so big, you feel me?
Right.
I almost didn't recognize him.
You mean like big in fame, not big in like fatness, right? Because he got a little fatter since I known him, I think. Sorry. That's that. Yeah.
Pleasantly plucked. That's what they rather. Hey, no, that's my bro. I ran back into him though, at the studio. He had a studio with Freddie Gibbs, so
right.
I used to record over there with Gibbs, and I ran back into him, man, and it just been all love ever since again, man.
Hell yeah.
2C, sometimes 3.
Sometimes, yeah, because sometimes I feel like we get shit because we will interview gangbangers who are kind of like more on the crazy cartoon side of the spectrum,
yeah.
Like people who make shit seem hilarious, funny, yeah. Ridiculous, over the top. Sometimes, I feel like we might get judged a little bit for that.
Nah, it's cool because certain people like that shit, bro. Mm. And that's why I had to speak out like an icon. You look at an icon as a real factor and a reputable from his section.
Mm.
Handling his business. Been there through the jail systems from juvenile halls, camp, YA, to prison a few times. So you supposed to grow in there.
Mm.
You're not supposed to remain the same. You feel me? You supposed to grow in there. You got older homies that you supposed to listen to in there that got stories to tell you that'll change your life. You can change inside the correctional facility, bro.
Mm.
Some people, they choose not to. Some people want to remain characters and cartoons and shit like that. But some of they big homies disagree. And I know they do, bro.
Hmm.
I know they do. They want real, reputable young homies talking on real platforms like yours. But we going to speak for the youth and shit, too, though, and tell them, like, it ain't all about squabbling up in the county jail and, you know what I'm saying, gang banging and shit like that. Tell me something that, okay, you've been through that. Now tell me something that you're doing now that we can grow from, you feel me? Don't just scare us with all the bullshit.
Right.
Because they got an option, bro.
But from my perspective, having that kind of conversation, that is the shit that I'm curious about sometimes just because it is like an unfamiliar world to me, like having to go into the fucking lion's den and then all of a sudden you got to be fighting everybody who looks at you sideways and shit, But
yeah.
Sometimes, there's a lot more
it's
to it
truth.
Than that.
Yeah. That's the truth. I've been through all of that shit. Big bro, I have. I've been through just from juvenile halls, you grow through all that shit, but going through that shit, your enemies respect you, bro. Mm. So by the time you hit prison and the county jail, they already know who you are. You shouldn't have to go through that shit again. Because you grow up with your enemies. Some of these dudes don't grow up with their enemies. They come from other places and then bang something, you feel me?
Mm.
Like when you grow up in that area and your allies is right across the way, like you know how us in the 60s are.
Mm.
We go to school with them so we know who we shooting at. We know who we fighting. A lot of these dudes, they don't know, bro. So, yeah, they got social media now. That's how they getting their fame and building their reputation.
Mm. Interesting. Yeah, because that's one thing I noticed about you is that you got videos going all the way back to, 2011 or some shit, where you're just on YouTube, but in your hood, like, really just out there, like, filming interviews and shit like it's nothing.
Yeah, because, like, I respect what you doing, bro. All those interviews was practice.
Mm.
No disrespect to Real Tunes TV and Street Gang.
Shout out Street Gangs.
Alex, that's my boy. Got right. a story about
him. He's been doing amazing
Got
content
a story
for a
about
long
him,
time,
too,
yeah.
bro. He saved my life, too.
Interesting.
But platforms like this is where we express ourselves. Like, the big homies want us to tell the world. We got a chance to tell the world something different. What we doing? Positive in the set now. You know what I'm saying? Back then, I was probably was still in the set doing those interviews.
Mm.
Running the streets and committing crimes and shit, going back and forth to jail. Now, I pray a lot more because I do a lot of interviews now. So I have to be careful on what I say. And I know how to answer my questions because God gave me the words to say.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Just so I want the youth and the big homies to feel what I'm saying. You feel me? From the streets to prison, bro. They love what I'm doing. And it's all love to everybody. Every set. I'm talking about Blue Red, Neighborhood, Gangsta, Hoover. All of them. I'm talking for everybody.
Mm. Definitely. So, okay, tell me a little bit about your upbringing.
I came up in church.
Okay.
My grandmother, rest in peace, Irma Jean Simpson. My grandfather, James Simpson. They was the bishop and the mother of my church. I grew up playing the drums.
Okay.
And shit. So I came up in church, bro. I'm not gonna lie, I didn't have no real hard life. Like, I wasn't poor. My grandfather and them made sure that we had food on our table, clothes on our back, shoes on our feet, and, you know what I'm saying, a roof over our head. So that's not poor, right?
Nah,
that's not poor.
But a lot of people kind of want to, like, glamorize being poor. It's like an ironic thing that
man.
People do.
Nah, tell the truth, because certain people will fall for it, you know what I'm saying? The real ones won't. So I didn't grow up poor, bro. I had a nice life. I was fucking up in school and shit, you know what I mean? I was playing sports, basketball, all that shit. But, yeah, bro, I came up in church, started messing up, going to juvenile halls, camp, YA. And it was like I couldn't turn it around.
Mm.
It's like once you go in there, it's either you're going to become a mark or you're going to become a man. You know what I'm saying? So I was just – my upbringing was always become – I was a leader. So everywhere I was at, people loved who I was. Whether I squabble with my enemies, I was able to talk to them right after that.
Mm.
Just on how I carry myself, my character. I was a gentleman at a young age, so I didn't have it rough like that, bro. I didn't have to bang. I chose to.
Because you got introduced to it mostly while you were locked up?
No,
before that?
My dad.
Oh, okay.
My dad and my mom from my set.
Okay.
She was from the set before my dad. Yeah, my dad used to go to Crenshaw High with the 60s.
Okay.
Then he came along on that side and to my side and met my mom. But before he met my mom, he was already with the homies and shit. But yeah, bro, my uncle, he from Hunnids, Monster Pookie. That's Ice Cube, head security right now. Oh. He doing a big three and shit with him right now. So shout out to the Lynch mob. But yeah, I had an option. But watching them coming up, always wanted to see something different besides church. You feel me? Church kids, man, they always be like, we really are the fuck-ups.
Mm.
Because we always locked inside. Like, we always, it's church every Sunday. Monday through Friday, I was going to church. Tuesday, Bible class, or Thursday, it was Bible class. Tuesday, revival, or Friday, choir rehearsal. I'm the drummer. So I had to be there every service, bro.
Right.
Just coming from school, straight from school, I couldn't go to the skating rink and really hang out like everybody else did. I had to bang at school, you feel me?
Mm. You think that's kind of what drove you more into the street shit, that you were sort of cooped up doing the church shit a lot before that?
Real talk, I'm not going to lie. Because I always wanted to see what my uncle was seeing or what my dad was seeing when he had me around his neck. As a kid, I knew what it was because I used to be with my father a lot.
Mm.
Always wanted to go with him and stay with him like till 5 a.m. in the set. I'd be with the big homies and he'd be gone somewhere else or come back and get me and then we'd go home. But I always wanted to see the streets, the street life, because I always loved my uncle and loved how he came around and treated his nieces and nephews he was like a hero to us. So I always wanted to see what was off the porch.
Mm. Definitely. So when do you identify that you really started to get more into it?
When I start going to jail.
Mm.
When I start going to jail, my dad was hard on me, man. Like, his whoopings was... You would rather go to jail than go back home to get an ass whooping from my daddy.
Oh, wow.
So, bro, I don't know. I always was going to jail, like, and it just wouldn't change. Like, I started getting more into it. I started living that jail life, and I brought it to the streets, and it upgraded my gang banging. My squabbles got better in the halls. Going to camp, I'm getting bigger. I'm learning how to work out. I'm learning that my father said working out is important now.
Right.
You feel me? Because I'm seeing kids my size bigger than me in camp. So all that played its part, man. It was just me being a leader and knowing I can make these dudes follow me is what made me stay so long, like a part of the gang shit.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? I was able to make people do things like and love me. You know what I'm saying? Because right. I never lied to them. In fact, I had them do something, I did it with them.
Right.
It was shit like that.
Because, I mean, tell me what you think of this, but it's kind of like in the gang world, it seems like the people who rise to the top is pretty much like a battle of who has like the most dominant personality.
Yeah. It could go either way now. But see, now dudes do it off Instagram because they got more followers than you.
Right. I mean, that's just like a way to command respect through an account, through the internet, like, where you can affect more people that way, right?
Yeah. Say like Fat Boy, that's my little homie from my set, but he from Jersey, HR Gangsta.
Uh-huh.
He got way more followers than me, and a lot more people will listen to him because he got a bigger fan base.
Right.
Now, he could be like, I'm that guy out here, and woo, woo, woo. Who you gonna think they gonna listen to more?
Mm.
Him or me? I'm talking about just the world, not just the hood, because the hood know better. But the world, because he's more attached to the world than I am. Who they're going to listen to?
Mm.
They're going to listen to him because he's got more fan base, a more bigger platform than me. You know what I'm saying? So
the question kind of is, like, what gangbanging is even really for once you are at that level? Like, you know, that, like, because gangbanging makes a ton of sense when it's just, like, neighborhoods in L.A. having to sort their shit out in terms of who gets along with who, et cetera, et cetera. But once you really get to the point of having big-ass fan bases and shit, then it's kind of like...
You should be able to do something with it.
Right.
You should be able to bring shit together if your name hold weight and you step like that. Like, bro, I'm going to open up something.
That's cool.
I've been talking to my boy AD from 60s on me.
Mm-hmm.
And, he been talking to his homies, and I've been talking to my big homies. And one of my big homies, he encouraged me to go along and make something happen. Like, we've been shooting and killing each other for years, bro. Like, this is big, bro. Like, and I be chopping it up with AD because you have to build a relationship. Through communication, you feel me?
You're talking about a different AD now?
Yeah, from 60.
From 60, all right.
Yeah. So you got to build a relationship to be able to make that connection. It can be done, bro. Like, everybody in the world say, we'll never be able to come together or look eye to eye. But we did it at NIP, you know what I'm saying, NIP thing.
Mm.
We came together and we walked the march with them, you feel me? Side by side, you feel me? But as far as, like, just stopping all the killing, just stopping all. You know what I'm saying? We ain't got to shoot dice and drink, hang out together, because a lot of homies still got to work on their language.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some niggas still have a way of dissing in their language. So it'll be hard to hang around people like that because some people ain't going to go for it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Or niggas got shit tatted on them and still crossed out. It's going to be hard for certain people to look at it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's a lot of work to be done, but, bro, it could be done. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I've been working on right now, like, trying to, like, better the streets, you feel me?
Right.
Real talk, like, save these children, bro.
Right. Which is, like, you know, that from an outsider perspective, you know, whenever I've ever said anything to my friends who are, like, more in the streets, whenever I ever say anything about, like, you know, just mending all this shit or the likelihood that these certain areas are going to be getting along or whatever, a lot of times they kind of, like, laugh in my face. Like it ain't happening.
Before before all of that, it was my little thing, me and Nip had. You feel me?
Right. Because you were like one of the, for the, a lot of people might only know you from that. Like, oh, that's the dude who was beefing with Nip at one point.
Yeah. And then back then they just thought I was hating. They didn't know the history behind it.
Right.
So now they know the history behind it. So a lot of fans be like, man, I didn't know the history was that deep with y'all when they seen heard about the march.
Right.
That's when they learned about more about me and Nip rap beef we was having. You know what I'm saying? He dissed me, I dissed him. You know what I'm
you
saying?
You felt like he dissed you first?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just not sure.
It was brought to my attention, bro. So that's why I responded.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? It was just the battle of both sides. Like, because I met him, shook his hand, you know what I'm saying? We met up at Jeezy thing. You know what I'm saying? We had a meeting with Jeezy and he came to the video and shooting shit. So it wasn't like on no set trip. The industry was scared of it.
You met him before you ended up dissing each other or after at one point you guys?
After, bro.
Oh, so you ended up squashing it. Okay.
No, it wasn't. It was just, it was squashed. It was squashed, but at that time when I first met him, it was still like on. But it was he was just on, like his money. You feel me? And I wasn't really tripping too. I was just on some rap shit. Like you feel me? Like who, nigga? You feel me? But if it go there, it's gonna go there.
Right.
And that's how a lot of people was feeling in the industry. Like, damn, man, we do the show together with them. It'll be big, but damn, man, how many people gonna be tear this motherfucker up?
Right. So. When you guys were dissing each other, was there any personal animosity or was it 100% just hood shit of neighborhoods not getting along?
I mean, it was like probably half and half.
Okay.
Of course, it was some animosity there because of our history. You know what I'm saying? And we ain't never hung out together. He from a different generation than me.
Mm.
So I'm from A-Track Gangsta. He from 60s. His homies is influencing him. Nigga, you better diss this nigga back.
Mm.
Shit like that. Of course. How you think he knew of me? Of course. You
right.
know what I'm saying? They telling them the history. You got to know about it to be able to talk about it.
Right. It's crazy because nowadays it feels like everybody, like now that Nip is passed and everything, people very much are like, they want to treat him like he was kind of like a Jesus of the hood or some shit. You know, like, and a lot of the prior conflict and drama and shit sort of, it's very enticing for people to sort of wash it away and just sort of treat him like he was just like
they were treating him when he was here.
But in reality, like when you talk to people or you sort of go back and look at shit, you realize like, I mean, he was gangbanging like anybody else. Bro, at a certain point. He had hoods crossed out on his body.
Yeah, he had my hood crossed out. Shout out to Nip. I got his crossed out, but rest in peace to that man. It was just... like when he first died, I was on the road with Afro Man.
Right.
We was touring. So we was on our way to Vegas to do the Hard Rock. So when I found out about it, I was like, damn, it's finna be some shit. You feel me? Like, it's finna be some shit. Like, first thing in the whole people, everybody in our community in the LA is gonna say, oh, the 60s and 80s trades is finna go at it. Don't nobody know what happened, but that would be your first thing, you feel me?
Right.
They finna attack, and we'll be the first ones they attack. But having reputable homies on each side, people stand down, you feel me? And let shit fall out and see what's going on, you know what I'm saying? Don't just be on no attack mode, you feel me? But at that time, yeah, he was banging hard and shit, man, you know what I'm saying? And he changed in certain ways, you could tell. In his music, you know what I'm saying? Like a lot of people say, man, he was always with the bullshit. That shit fake they posting like he was just a saint and all about the, I mean, a lot of things he was doing was for the community. He did a lot over there, bro, for his homies in that community, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man, he did change in his ways, bro. And it touched me when he died because we was supposed to do something together. My homie had Big Madbone, shout out to Madbone, and my father, Big Sody. They was going to hook up with Big U and put something together and make it like not just a song. It was going to be media involved and all of that. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I was like, damn, that was going to be big, like, for the community. So it touched me that, you know what I'm saying, that was taken away.
Would people from your area have felt a certain kind of way about you doing anything with them? I'm sure they probably felt a certain way about you even being cool with
some
them.
Some people, Some people, bro. But once I have posted rest in peace, Nipsey Hussle, bro.
Right.
You see all the gangsters posted. It was like they was waiting for me to say something, to respond. Like they didn't want to disappoint me or say, oh, if I say rest in peace to Nip, is the homie going to be mad or, you know what I'm saying? But nah, it was on they own shit. You know what I'm saying? It didn't have nothing to do with us.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, it was a lot of rest in peace from my homies and other gangsters. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of homies respect what he did. They liked his music. And it showed when he passed, though. They played it more. You know what I'm saying? You hear people play it more that you never heard. You like, dang.
Right.
Like, they just playing it out of, you know what I mean? But that's just how the cookie crumbles sometimes.
I mean, I feel like that version of events where somebody passes away and everybody is able to still say, like, hey, we had problems during our life, but rest in peace, you know, as a good man lost or whatever. That's a lot better than, you know, who I smoke and all this shit that is basically like, you know, somebody dies, we're going to violate them 10 times harder. We're going to remind their homies that, you know, fuck this dude, yada, yada. That makes the whole cycle so much worse.
And people waited for us to do that. People waited for us to do that, bro. Like, they waited for us to diss his name and do a whole lot of bullshit. Like, I always keep it gangster, bro. Like, one of my homies had went over there and crossed his shit out on Slauson. And yeah, he crossed it out and they hit me. And I had went over there and I paid and got that shit did. I fixed that, bro.
Really?
But it wasn't put out there that I fixed it. You know what I'm saying? It was put out there that all the rest of them was fixed. You feel me? But AD and Big U and them, they know, bro, that I went over there like a man and paid the essay to fix that. My homie did that. You feel me? Just out of respect, bro. We don't disrespect the dead on this side of the earth.
What was the conversation like with your friend after he did that?
The painting?
Or no, when he went and dissed it. Like, how upset course, were you?
We had got on them for that because you don't want them to come do my shit like that.
Right.
Or one of the big homies we put on the wall, you don't want them to come keep spray painting it on him. That's total disrespect. Let that man rest in peace, man. You feel me? Let them keep that. You know what I'm saying? Don't go over there and disrespect that shit. Yeah, we got on him for that. You know what I'm saying? But he learned his lesson and know, like, you know what I'm saying? The dead, you let them rest, man. Like, I tell everybody that. You know what I'm saying? Like, they was mad. Some people wasn't. Like, the Gucci and Jeezy battles. You know what I'm saying? They versus with the Pookie Loc whole situation.
Were you friends with Pookie Loc?
I didn't know him personally.
Okay.
But when I got over there with Jeezy, I heard a lot about him. And I went to his hood in Macon, Georgia, and I gained a lot of respect and earned respect from his homies. And they told me a lot about him, homie. To know that he was a good nigga and he was somebody over there from his hood. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I spoke up for that in that situation. You know what I mean? It wasn't no disrespect to either side. It was just a hot moment. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's like dissing somebody from gangster and you just dissing they dead homie in front of me and I'm not gonna say nothing. That's like somebody dissing your homie and you just gonna stand there. Couple of y'all. This your boy though, Adam. Listen, this your boy.
Yeah.
I'm talking about you take care of his kids, like, because he passed away. You looking out for his kids, and you know what I'm saying? Shit like that.
I mean, on one hand, you could look at Jeezy and say he handled it in a pretty mature way.
No,
he didn't freak out.
That's what I tell everybody. You know? Like he said in his interview, he prepared himself for that. That's what a lot of people don't understand. Like, he prepared himself mentally to be disrespected like that.
Like, a lot of people, myself included, when we saw that happened, the reason why we were so shocked is because I think we all thought that Gucci was at a point in his life where he's so rich, he's so successful, he's so, like, past all that, that he wouldn't take it there. Even though,
it went good up to there, bro.
Right.
I was like, yes! Like, about time, like, you know what I'm saying? They got on the same stage, you know what I'm saying? Oh, shit, man. Oh, shit.
Up until that moment, I thought that there probably was a conversation that happened before to say, okay, this is off limits. You know, because, like, think about what, I mean, You know,
why would you break that rule when you got money on the table?
Well, I don't think that they made that rule. But I think that Gucci just took it upon him to do that. But, like, I mean, think about how much, like Jeezy could have said all kinds of crazy disrespectful shit about Gucci, you know?
He didn't even do his diss on
He
on
didn't
Gucci.
Diss him back. He didn't take it to that level, which, you know, I thought was kind of impressive.
He was just on his grown man shit, bro. Yeah. Like, he's a changed man, and I respect it. You know what I'm saying? His fans still love him. They gonna still buy his music and bump his music and shit like that. So it was just, it was a business thing they had going on, but a lot of people in Macon was hurt. Mm. And they didn't have a platform to talk about it.
That's true.
Because it's small over there.
But okay, so how did you meet Gucci or Jeezy and get involved with them in the first place?
Through music.
Oh, really?
Through my music. He seen one of my music videos I got called On My Own. And he redid a song called On My Own on one of his mixtapes when we did the TM103 tour.
Okay.
But he came out here to Cali and hooked up with my homie Crowbar. Shout out to Crowbar. He came and told me Jeezy wanted to holler at me. So I went down there to the hotel, hollered at him. I ran into a gang of Georgia dudes before I met Jeezy.
Mm.
The Macon homies like Scrap Loke, J-Bone, Double Up. I think all of them was there. They from Duncan Block. They was in the room. So my homie and them was like, we finna go to the club. Woo, woo, woo. We was waiting on Jeezy to come, but he didn't come out till late. You know what I'm saying? But I'm like, I'm straight. I'm chilling. I'm finna see what's up with the homies. They from Gangsta Crib, but just from a whole nother side of the earth. So I'm trying to vibe with them. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
Man, Jeezy came out around 12 or something. That's how I ended up seeing him. Like, we all went to the club that night. He was just watching me. You feel me? And I was watching him and shit, you feel me? And then we just mobbed in the club. Then he asked me if I want to go back to Atlanta. I went back. That's how we locked in ever since. That's how I met Gangsta Gibbs.
Right, because Gibbs was rolling around with him around that time? What year are we talking?
Damn, was that 2014, 15, somewhere?
Okay.
When the TM103, that's when I got with him, when he dropped TM103.
Right.
That's when I got over there. Gibbs was probably over there way before me.
And so you just automatically just start going on tour with them and just holding them down?
Yeah. It was all love, bro. Like, he showed love, bro. You feel me? I learned a lot of my stage performance came from, like, Jeezy, man.
Mm.
Like, learning how to record and my timing in the studio came from Jeezy because I wasn't really, like, on the South rap. I couldn't really do the trap rap at first. Now you hear all my music, I can do it. Good. You feel me? But I was always on some West Coast shit, some gangster shit.
One of the things that stood out when we were watching the old song, was it Hard in the Paint or what was the remix? Is that it's like the worst quality recording ever.
I know.
And AD, I was asking AD, I'm like, do you remember this? Like, why does this song sound like this? He's like, you remember that, right? Like, it was kind of cool for your shit to sound like really
because
trash at the
it
time.
It was just everybody was trending off that,
yeah,
that Waka song.
Mm.
From the jungles, it just took over. Like, but I really showed everybody how to go hard in the paint.
Mm.
That's why my shit did. Like, all everybody tuned in, like all my enemies, because I was dissing everybody. I dissed everybody in that song back then.
Mm.
So even Dub C hit me up like, damn, nephew, you didn't have to go hard on the homies like that.
Right.
You feel me? But that's my unk, though, you feel me? But that song did, like, give me a lot of attention.
Right.
Even though it sounded kind of fucked up, though. It was
just the recording quality.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I rushed the song. I wanted to hurry up and put it out.
Right.
Because it was getting... I hate doing challenges because they get old fast.
Mm.
Like, you do see it. Once the celebrities do them all, it's like, you don't want to do it no more.
Right.
So everybody was doing it, so I was like, man, just hurry up and put that shit out.
Yeah.
I wasn't really tripping.
I mean, the original versions of a lot of those songs don't really sound that great. That's one thing people were pointing out about the Gucci versus Jeezy battle is that a lot of the Gucci songs, they were mixed and mastered, like, not great at that time or, like, weren't mastered at all.
Back then, man, them niggas was coming straight out the basement, bro.
Mm-hmm.
They was still recording in garages and shit and back rooms and shit like that. So they really didn't have that quality sound. They just had niggas that... a dedicated fan base that's gonna bump their shit.
And Jeezy was like a big star with a label budget way before Gucci
was. He came in with it already.
Mm.
So that put him on, you know what I'm saying? Especially when he got with Drama.
Right. So, you know, was the was the Jeezy situation kind of the thing that showed you that, like, oh shit, there's more to life than just being on the block talking all this shit? Or
yeah, bro. Yes, it was. Mm. It was life changing.
To show you, like, oh, I can actually make real money. I can actually really build something.
I'm not gonna lie to you, from just being in the set into being able to just travel the world, not never seeing nothing, not hearing no other accents, meeting no Southern food, eating Southern food, New York, just going places and never did it. It was, man, living in expensive hotels, like, just basically being by myself, being on my own. I was always had my locs around me, my brother, my sisters, my foundation. So I never was off by myself, but just being off by myself, I learned a lot, bro. I met a lot of good people, and I learned a lot about the industry.
And it kind of, like, just all of a sudden lets you know that, like, oh, there's a lot more to life than just, like, who I get along with on the other side of town.
Yeah, bro, you want to live more now. You want to live more, no lie. I done seen so much now, I want to live. I want to live. Leave me alone. I don't want to pick up no gun unless you touch me or my family members. But please, I want to live, bro. I know you done seen the good things in life. You want to live, right?
Oh, yeah.
And don't nobody want to die right now and just go out of here and say, I'm happy with what I've accomplished. I'm still not the man of my dreams. I got to become the man of my dreams before I become the man of somebody else's. You feel me?
Right.
Real talk, man.
I mean, once you have something to lose, that's when fucking around just starts to seem a lot less appealing in the sense of, like, you know, I got a kid now. I'm engaged, all this shit. I got a house. It's like, when I think about my life when I was in my early 20s and shit, when all this stupid-ass shit that I was doing, getting drunk and fighting and all this dumb-ass shit, it just seems like crazy risky in retrospect, you know?
At that time, I didn't respect it, though.
Because you didn't have anything to lose.
I was still gangbanging and shit.
Yeah.
I was still going to the set and taking the real risks. So I didn't respect it like how I respect it now. Like, like, bro, I lost my son 2 years ago.
Really?
To a fire.
At what age?
He was 9 at the time.
Wow.
In Albuquerque, New Mexico.
I'm sorry. That's terrible.
So I'm still grieving over that, and I'm still taking losses, like deaths on top of deaths. So it's still hard for me to I haven't even sat down and cried out loud. I cried for my son and weaved and moaned all night long for days, but I still haven't went to the corner and just screamed and cried and just grieved him, because it's another death coming, or another death of an auntie or an uncle, my grandfather, or close homie from a G homie, or, you know, my brother, my step. It was just wild, bro. My auntie, my mom's. Oh, it was just, it was wild. Death on top of death. So it was still hard, but I respect it now, because that changed my way of thinking about life when I lost my son, bro. I think totally different. Like, a love dropped inside of me from out of the sky, from somewhere, I don't know. I don't know, and I work extra harder now. I don't want to say that I work extra hard, because I don't want to sit down and just think about him all day and fuck my mind up to where I can't write music anymore and just be depressed. So I just keep going. Like, shout out to Fat Boy. He got me on the road when it first happened. Like, he got me a peace of mind. Afro Man kept the grass from growing under my feet, like, keep me on the road. I did the Puff Puff Pass tour with him and shit, with Snoop and them. I just been working, bro, like, alcoholic, like, working, like.
But do you feel like you, you know, haven't really allowed, like, you know, I noticed with myself, too, that, like, when something really traumatic happens to you, it's very tempting to just sort of, like, work through it and not have to really sit down and be sad about it.
Yeah, man. Shit. Every time I think about it, I'm sad, bro. I just be holding my tears back now. I try my best, man, but I cry all the time inside, bro. But I know this is what he want me to do. Like, this is a blessing to me, what you did for me, bringing me on this show, bro. Like, this is one of my accomplishments that I've been waiting for a long time. Not being signed to no major label or anything. Like, just out of love. Maybe God touched your heart or something, what I said, bro. But I always pray, like, just to keep me going. Not being signed with Jeezy or nobody. Shout out to United Music Mafia. I got something going on with them. That's my label. I fuck with them now. Big Sean and them. It's just God got a lot of things that been happening for me. Like, I thought it wasn't going to happen, bro. Just me just still going and doing music and doing interviews with different podcasts and just talking to different people and meeting people. Man, my life has changed, bro. Like, elevated a whole lot, bro.
Definitely.
A whole lot, bro. Like, a whole lot.
Was there a moment where the Jeezy thing sort of fell apart? Like, what happened to your relationship with him?
We never had bad blood. It was just, I felt like I was in the middle of that shit, you feel me? Not of what was going on. It was just like being tugged. Like, I love Gibbs. That's my bro. Dog, that's big bro, you know what I'm saying? He was the CEO at the time of the label, so. And he brought me over there. If it wasn't for Jeezy, I wouldn't have met Gibbs. So Gibbs ended up moving to Cali, you know what I'm saying? And we became tight, bro, like real tight.
And then they fell out.
Over the deal situation and shit, you know what I'm saying? And I was there the whole time through that shit, thinking it was going to happen and all that shit. It just fell apart, bro. It broke his heart, you know what I'm saying? He was real hurt. I was kind of down because I'm like, damn, now. By Gibbs being the captain of the boat of CTE, you dropping him, it's like, what everybody else going to do? You know what I'm saying?
Do you think Jeezy just didn't appreciate how great Gibbs was? Or, like, what he was capable of?
It could be that. It could be that, bro. You could say that. Because I don't know what the fuck had happened. I don't know what the fuck had happened, bro. But he didn't, bro. Because at that time, Gibbs was on his shit then.
Right.
You feel me? He was on his shit then. That's why he made him the captain of our ship at the time when we was doing CTE World shit.
I feel like Gibbs is getting his respect now more than ever before.
Because why? It makes you strive and push harder when you hurt, bro.
But you could imagine if the Jeezy had fully gone behind Gibbs back.
He'd have been blew up.
You know, he could have been huge a long time
ago. He'd have been blew up, bro.
It says a lot about his personality that he kept going and is really, like, experiencing the success at this point.
Being a leader, man, and not wanting to stop. I was there, still there. Like, that's my bro. I talked to him the other day. You know what I'm saying? He just accomplishing a lot, bro. Like, even out here on the West Coast, he known more out here now, you feel me?
Right.
In L.A. and shit now, you know what I'm saying? Like, this Gary, you know what I'm saying? But that's my bro, man. And I just felt like I was in the middle of that shit. You know what I'm saying? It was no bad blood with me or Jeezy or Gibbs. Like, but it's like, if I fuck with Jeezy too hard, maybe Gibbs would be mad at me, you know what I'm saying? And stop answering your calls. That's how you feel back then. I'm a street nigga, bro. I'm trying to get in the game. I'm just now meeting these dudes that's already, you know what I'm saying, successful. So I'm like, damn, what the fuck? I'm still connected with Jeezy and shit at the same time, but it's like, I don't know, bro. It just fell apart.
So you just kind of fell out of touch with him, or you never really even had an argument or told him, like, yo, I'm out?
Nah, because I never signed no paperwork with them.
Right.
Like, when YG came over there, I was fighting a case at the time. So I couldn't go on tour or nothing with them no more. Like, I had an ankle monitor on for 2 years. So he had YG. Me, Gibbs, hit YG. It has Jeezy, like, man, who was that? Like, that's YG. That's his. Tell him come to the studio. Then that's when we had recorded Just Got Word. You feel me? Because me and Gibbs on that track too. With YG, it's on YouTube. But that's how Jeezy ended up signing YG and putting him on. Because I was supposed to be the nigga from LA. You feel me? But I had fucking up, street nigga. You lose your opportunities. And I'm telling the youngsters right now, now if you want to rap, do that shit. Like, because if you're going to do this street shit, it's going to take it out. It's going to take away from you. Take a lot. And it's hard for the younger homies that want to become just rappers and settle down because they ain't got their street name up, because the homies going to get jealous and press them. Like, where you been? Why you ain't been out here? And it's hard. I ain't going to lie. That's why I was like, damn, you know what I'm saying? I did my gangbanging real early, you feel me? So now I'm rapping. The big homies want me to stop. They want me to rap and talk the positive things and what we doing in our community now and the positive things in the set and the homies that's rapping and owning their own businesses and things like that.
I mean, that, don't you think that's kind of the weirdly fucked up thing about the culture, I guess, in general, that it's kind of like people are willing to give somebody like you a pass on, like, okay, you were a gangbanger and now you could be a gang member and nobody expects you to be doing crazy violent shit. But it's kind of like you, to get that respect, you have to have this time period where you are doing crazy ass shit. Mm-hmm. And then if you somehow survive it and don't end up in jail for 20 years, then you get the respect. And these kids aren't stupid. The kids see that and the kids realize.
They trying to keep, they want to do that. Yeah. And they think that's, back then, man, it wasn't a lot of policing and snitching back then.
Right.
So you can't commit murder and be talking about that shit all on social media, because that's how they think they're going to get their rep up.
Yeah, because they want the credit right away. They're not going to, like, leave it up to, you know, people going to guess who caught this body. Like, sometimes you just hit, you see people basically take credit for
it. Niggas want glory. They want to be glorified for it now. It's like a thing. Yeah. It's like a thing now, you know what I'm saying? But back then, hell nah. Fuck that shit, bro. You don't hear nothing after something's happened. Anything done, you don't hear about it.
Hmm.
So it was just, like, different. Like, it's a different time frame, like. I don't know, bro, but I was hard-headed still then. I was hard-headed, and I didn't respect what I had at the time, because I would have been knowing how to talk to Yo Gotti when I'm sitting at the table with Yo Gotti or T.I. and Tiny. I was at the table with Nelly Arden and with Jeezy. Like regular people, we all chopping and conversating and all that.
Mm.
I wasn't connecting myself at the time. I was still into the streets. I wanted to do the music. It was in my heart. But my work ethics wasn't there. I wasn't trying to get it. Like, hey, man, Gotti, fuck with me, man. I need a track with you. Woo, woo, woo. Look at Gotti now.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Shit like that. Like, now I'm on it. You feel me? And God blessing me, man. I'm handsome, still going. And I'm doing that shit.
One thing I saw when I was researching you and shit that I was pretty taken aback by was the footage. I think it was on Street Gangs where he actually filmed you outside the courthouse when you were turning yourself in. Talking to your mom and your dad. I was like, man, this is some really like immersive shit, because you're getting to see.
That's at the time I told you, bro.
Right.
When I couldn't go with Jeezy on the road and all that.
But I was like, because, you know, you hear about a rapper turning themselves in all the time, but you don't get to see.
My shit wasn't out there.
Right.
In my case, I was fighting. That shit wasn't out there, bro. That murder, like, I don't talk, brag about that shit and all that. You don't hear about, oh, little Shorty, ooh, we fought this and da 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 and beat it. And you don't brag about that shit. I'm a gangster, you feel me?
But you know what's crazy is that if that situation, and I didn't figure out exactly what happened, but, you know, if that situation happened now, I mean, there would be all these fucking YouTube videos.
Yeah,
about
right
it.
Now, if I was to do some shit because of all the people that
right.
pay attention to me now.
But now people just make YouTube videos about, like, everything. If there's a rapper who kills somebody, they're making YouTube videos about it.
Oh, my God.
Not that you did, but, like, that's automatic content.
If I say some shit right now, like, I told her, man, I was going to tell Adam, take two of these and call me in the morning. Because I thought you said you were sick and shit, you feel me? I was like, damn, I'm going to miss my interview.
Oh, no.
So I was like, man, I'm finna. But then YG was like, you UFC? You UFC,
me?
Bro?
Me? Hell no.
Nah.
YG said that?
Remember, he was like, you look like you tatted up UFC and all that.
Well, I think he was clowning me. I don't think he really thought I was in the UFC or anything like that.
But nah, bro. Nah, I mean, it's all good, bro. I love you, bro.
I actually didn't bring my gun today. I gotta be careful.
I brought mine.
Okay, I figured.
You good. You good, bro. But yeah, bro, I love you, bro. You got me on the show.
Appreciate
all the
that,
gangsters though. In the world, I'm connected all around, bro. Every state I got a set in. That's why they call me the mascot. Like, I ain't out here killing it, robbing and shooting. I'm out here motivating my homies to keep doing what they doing with this music, this dispensary businesses they got going on, these stores, this rap game, like Fat Boy, and a lot of my homies that's rapping right now, you know what I'm saying? Red Rose, keep going, like, keep going, bro. D3, keep going, bro. You know what I'm saying? Don't let the streets grab you.
Because
the streets will grab you, bro, and won't let go. You know what I'm saying? Look at me, I'm still going. All the shit that I've been through that you just heard, bro.
Right.
From my son, the disses, and all that shit. You know what I'm saying? And I'm still here, you know what I'm saying? And doors is being still open. So it can happen.
For sure. In terms of that case, how much can you say about what happened in that? Because you ended up pleading out, so you only had to do a little bit of time, right?
Me and my, it was me and my big homie. We took a, it's called a joint deal.
Okay.
Where everybody take the deal together. So we had to take that deal. My big homie stayed in the county, was fighting it. I had bailed out. So he was in there for the whole 2 years.
Uh-huh.
So the deal they gave us was a year on probation and a year in the county. So I had to turn myself in because I was out on bail. He had time served, so he came home. My other little homie got 18 because they gave him the shooting.
Uh-huh.
He didn't get, they said like 20-something, but he had like 4 years time credit and shit.
But so what actually happened in the situation?
They tried to say I was involved in the shooting, a murder, bro, that had happened on the 4th of July a while back.
But it was just one person who got killed? Because you were saying something about a family in the video, I think.
No, it wasn't a family.
Oh, okay.
No.
It was just one person got shot?
Yeah, okay. One person that got shot and shit, and they tried to involve me because it happened in front of my studio.
Oh, wow. So you really actually didn't have anything to do with it?
No, hell no, bro.
Oh, wow, okay.
Just because my van was parked there on camera in the bank. They see my van leaving, so they said, oh, you got the shooter up out of here. I never left the crime scene. I was still there. You know what I'm saying? So it was just weird, bro.
That seems fucked up.
It was another.
Yeah,
just because of my name, they try to really build a case on me.
Mm.
Like really trying to get me off the streets. You know what I'm saying?
You feel like the cops still got a hard on for you, like more now than when you were young?
Now when they see me, they be like, oh, we be down here watching your videos and your interviews. I'm like, what the fuck, man? Like, y'all stopped to tell me that? Like, you just pulled me over to just say that? Just to fuck with me now, like.
Right.
They know how they used to. But sometimes you got assholes still jump out and want you to raise your shirt up and grab all on you. I ain't on probation or parole, so they can't do that shit no more.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I ain't got to do nothing. I ain't got nothing on me. Keep going, sir. I'm a citizen.
Mm.
So that's how I look at the community. You know, I'm in a part of the community. Not against it.
Mm. For sure. So how was that? Was that the most significant chunk of jail time you ever did, or was there other times there were more?
Shit, the most jail time I did was 4 years and 4 months. That was in YACYA.
Oh, really?
What was that for? Assault with a deadly weapon.
Okay. When you were young?
Yeah, I was a kid. Mm-hmm. But I could have came home in 16 months, but like I said, bro, once you go in there, you beast mode, and you from somewhere, so you gotta squabble.
Mm.
Nigga, this shit, you gotta squabble all that jail shit, it's true. But don't nobody wanna glorify that shit. Glorify what's going on now. What you doing out here now to let this world know who you are? Or better yourself. Let the world know you exist. You know what I mean? And not as a fucked up person.
Right.
You know what I mean? I wanna be loved when I leave this place, bro.
Mm.
Like, damn, okay, he was doing all of this, but look what he did now. Look what he doing now.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Helping people, all of that. I've done all of that. Feed the community, all of that shit, bro. I want to do more. I want to do more of that shit, bro. So that's why I'm still going and doing my music, reaching out to people. Because I still got a lot to do, bro. It's a message for me. God got me doing something. I done been shot twice. I'm still here.
Mm.
So I know God got me on a mission.
Definitely. What was your relationship with Monster Cody?
Oh, that was my big homie, man.
Because I remember, like, reading his book when I was probably, like, 12 years old.
Oh, my God. I met him
before. It was really eye-opening.
When I met him, he was scary looking. You feel me?
Okay.
And then he ended up going to jail when I was a kid. But when my father and all the hood got his book, it was a big thing that was going around the set.
Oh, it was huge.
Like, Monster book out. Like,
there were so many people that was, like, their first time they really knew about it.
Like, everybody wanted, it was a secret or something, bro. Mm. Like, I was trying to get the book out of his drawer. He slammed the drawer, like, don't touch that book.
He didn't want you reading it?
No. I was like, what the fuck? Like, what's wrong with this book? Bro, I didn't get the book till I went to juvenile halls. It was like five of them bitches floating around the halls. Uh-huh. That's where everybody getting that gang, the gang culture came from, his book. All the way from the East Coast to here.
Right.
His book, bro.
Because I had been listening to Snoop and Dre and shit like that and like kind of figuring out what they were talking about. But then I got that book and it's like, oh, okay, here it is all laid out.
Oh, for that's me. Rap shit, bro.
Yeah.
That's rap shit, bro. Fuck that. That's some of that shit in that book, bro, is real life shit.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And what I've lived through, I had to witness myself as being a gang member. I had to go through a lot of things, bro. a lot of things to become the gang star I am today. But, man, meeting him as a kid, it was, we got into it. You know, he was a tripper. He wanted to make sure you was a real solid gangster, you feel me?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So after that, we had met up at the homie house, Big Sidewinder, rest in peace. He talked to me and let me know, like, man, we all family. So he knew my mom, my dad, my uncles. That's my mama's best little homie. She always talked about Monster Cody. You know what I'm saying? And it was just sad. We lost a lot of history when we lost him. Like, you look at all his interviews. He was doing interviews before me. He was on television before me. He is, like, one of the most famous Crips, bro.
For sure, yeah.
Real talk. Like, you know what I'm saying? He was friends with Tupac Shakur. Like it was people wanted to deal with him, wanted to fuck with him. A lot of people didn't know how to. That's me, man. That's you.
It's not me.
Oh, man.
I think it's you.
But, yeah, bro. He had a lot of people, bro, influenced.
Hmm.
Like, a lot of people don't give him his credit and his flowers, but, and I'm not just saying that to be his homie, you know what I'm saying? Because he lived his life. And I want the world to know this. He lived his life. He lived how he wanted to live. Even when he was in the set, bro, we took care of the big homie. Man, he kicked in doors, robbing homies and all kind of shit, bro, to get whatever he wanted. That's how he lived his life.
Right.
To where he was banned from California. He was banned from L.A.
Right.
He couldn't come back to L.A. He had to stay in San Diego.
That's funny because Big U has that same story about how they basically banned him from California.
No, that's the truth, bro.
They used to do that. They can't do that anymore or what?
I don't know. Shit, they did it to him.
Because
I was trying to get him to come do the song. Let's do the track and all that, big homie. Woo-woo.
Mm-hmm.
I just miss hanging out with him, hearing all the stories. You feel me?
Right.
I never got a chance to get our interview together.
Mm.
And that shit broke my heart, like, because Kev Mack, we were supposed to do something with him, but he had went without me. I wasn't able to make it out there. I was in Atlanta at the time, so.
Yeah, because I remember having a conversation with Vlad about how he wanted to interview Monster Cody so bad and talked to so many people trying to make it happen and it never happened, and then he passed. Do you know?
He would have fucked with you.
That would have been crazy.
He would have fucked with you, bro.
But do you know what his last interview was before he passed?
It was with Kev Mack.
Oh, it was, okay.
OG. Yeah, that was when he had first got out. Then he had ended up going back and getting out again and then passed. But Kev Mack, that was his last interview, man. He looked good on there. He was rapping and shit. I always used to be laughing at his raps. He had them old school raps, man.
Right.
Always talking about killing and all that. But yeah, man, I love you, Monster, man. Rest in peace, big homie. T-Haz.
What's your relationship with Afro Man?
Oh, man, that's my big brother.
He first came out, nobody was thinking that he came from that kind of background,
bro.
Right? Took because, everybody a while to pick up on that.
Yeah, Freeway Rick plugged us up. Uncle Freeway.
Okay.
Shout out to Uncle Freeway because Afro Man was like, man, who from A-Tray Rap? Uncle Freeway was like, man, Lil Sody. I'm the mascot, you know what I'm saying? Before
you
Fat Boy
say that, huh?
And. Yeah, I am. Before Fat Boy and all the other rappers came, 83 Babies and all them.
Okay.
Them the little homies. Shout out to them, man. I want all of y'all to keep going. 704 Chopper, all of them.
I never thought of 83 Babies as being an A-Tray thing until this moment.
You lying?
No, but I never really put that together. I thought, they must have been born in 83, which also doesn't make sense
because
then they would be I was born in 83.
Hell no. Nah. One of them little boys in there for a murder right now.
And I think the other one's kind of.
They still doing their thing.
But they stopped fucking with them, right?
And, YBT.
Because, like, I remember Vlad trying to get Rich the Kid to talk about one of them because I think a kid died, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's Lil Tony. Free Lil Tony.
Rich the Kid
man,
was not having that. He was not talking about that.
Yeah, man. They fucked their thing up. They was like the next Migos, bro.
Yeah.
They had
a couple
from
songs
North Carolina.
I was super into.
North Carolina A-Tray Gangsters, bro. You go on their Instagram right now. They big threes and all that. Big D. Yeah, for real. 83 Babies, bro. And that's how we met Rich the Kid. You know what I'm saying? Through that, you know what I'm saying? Going to the studio, vibing with Rich and all that. Through the little homies from North Carolina. That's why I'm saying I always wanted to connect all the states of my set. Like the last, didn't you see our last set day when we went viral? That mansion party we had and the news and shit came.
Oh, okay.
Somebody got shot and all that shit. That shit went viral, bro. It was all over the news. That shit was all out the country.
Right.
People was telling me from out the country, like, man, y'all on the news and woo woo. That match, but they were saying it was an NFL player party. Nah, hell no, nah, that was us, bro.
Right.
Yeah, bro, that was the A-Trays, bro.
Right.
But yeah.
Okay, man. But Afro Man.
Afro Man, that's my big brother. We be on the road together, man, and he just be showing me a lot, like, be him being by himself, because he never had an entourage, you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
He always felt like somebody robbed him for something. You know what I'm saying? It always worked out like that sometime in the industry.
Uh-huh.
So he always moved by himself, so he didn't have an entourage. So he met me. I've been going around with him and traveling around with him, and a lot of homies didn't know he was from the set until he got around me, you feel me?
Right.
Because he moved away from Horseman and all that shit years ago. When he was going to Horseman, his father moved him away to Palmdale.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So he was out there. And he had never came back, I don't think. Then he ended up going to Mississippi and going to college and all kind of shit. You feel me?
Mm.
Doing music. So it keeps you away. It pulls you away when you from a distance. It'll pull you away from the set. But thank God for him. In his heart, he came back. Pulled me along. Did some music. I got songs with Afro Man. Shout out to Afro Man. He got a beard.
Right. He does have a beard. That's real.
You see that shit?
Yeah.
He got his old beard, bro. That shit inspired me, bro.
Mm.
When we went to Ohio, he got a brewery company.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, bro. Just fucked me up. I'm talking about stacks of beer. Like, I'm like, man, I want little Sody beers.
We're all
he
thinking
was like,
small,
it can happen,
bro.
Pimpin'.
We're thinking about.
He was like, it can happen, pimpin'.
Weed lean and shit.
Bro, he
like
tried
that.
To pay me $10,000 to $15,000 just to move to Ohio.
Really?
Yeah. He was like, bro, I built you a house. Woo, woo. He got acres.
Mm.
It's just so dry out there, bro.
Yeah, fuck all
it's
that.
It's dry as fuck out there. He got the studio and all that. I was just like, damn, man, I can't do it.
Yeah.
No. I'm a city boy, man. I can't. Shout out to Fro, man. Thank you for the offer again, bro. It's too cold.
Right.
It's too cold out there, bro.
And if you're from LA, you're just used to being around shit. You can go pull up on people, the show's going on, et cetera.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly, man. I would be having to fly. He fly a lot.
Right.
So I would be having to fly a lot, bro. You know what I'm saying? And I just didn't want to be stuck out there in the country. I don't know, man. It's good to visit.
Yeah.
I can't live. Can't do it. Cows, gang of hayfields.
Bro, sometimes when I like am traveling and I end up in an area like that, it's just like.
Just driving through there is depressing.
What am I doing?
Especially
here?
If you don't have your phone charged and you got to go off the radio. So you just got to play whatever just to make it through that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, bro. And we drive a lot too on the road.
I don't blame you for being that.
He hit a lot of back old, like, in the country towns.
Mm.
He got a lot of shows, like, throughout Mississippi, like, where famous people don't go, like.
Mm.
Like, small towns, he pay attention to that. And that gave me, he's smart, because he go where he drive 7 hours, 8 hours to a town, and do, like, 5 shows, drive all the way back to the airport and leave.
Mm.
Don't nobody go down there and show those people love in those small towns.
Yeah, people forget about the middle of America.
All his fan base are white. Do you see his shows, bro?
I mean,
Sometimes I be looking. I have to lift my Sody shades and look through the crowd, and I be like, I look at my little brother, baby Sody, and say, "It's not a black in here." Hell, the real. Sometimes I be so happy because I be like, man. This is wonderful, like, for me to just be able to rap to all a whole white fan base, like, instead of just the hood, you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
Like, it's like, once you get big enough to have your fan base like that, you really don't need the hood. You always gonna need the hood, you gonna love the hood, but, you know what I'm saying, you don't gotta be worried about trying to sell tickets or trying to fill a club or show up, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
I'm just saying like that.
If you make music that, like, primarily just is gonna appeal to people from the hood, then... It's like a much smaller audience, but you start coming out saying, because I got high, then all of a sudden, all right.
Coke 45. I got a song about his beard.
Yeah.
But yeah, shout out to Fro, man. I love you, brother.
That's what's up. Big, you said that he doesn't think that the kids these days growing up, that they even think of the A-Trey 60s rivalry the same way that maybe somebody like you grew up thinking of it. True or false? He said that in a Vlad interview I was watching.
What do you mean, not it's being severe or just...
He thinks that like the young kids don't necessarily like consider it a must that they be having issues with people from there and shit.
Because you got people from out of states, bro. Mm. Like the dude, bro, I don't like him. Vlad.
You don't like Vlad? Okay.
It's just because he let somebody disrespect. He let somebody from a whole nother state disrespect you, bro. Your set. Like, why would you open up a window for an out-of-towner to talk about what we got going on in California?
You talking about Charleston White now?
No, not that. Oh, okay. Not that weirdo. We ain't even talking about him.
Right.
But I'm just saying, like, he interviewed a some guy from out of state, and they was talking about the march. So he was like, well, out there in their state, they're cool with 60s in other states, Texas and... Atlanta, some homies is cool. New York, they cool out there around there. They not real killing each other like out here. Mm. So when you go out there, it's different. So it's a different vibe. So they'll come out here thinking it's Crip love. It's not. It's not no Crip love out here. Mm. It's Crips killing Crips out here. Crips killing Crips out here, bro. So they come out here with a different perspective. Like my homie came from New York out here. He came and got shot. Hanging out on Western Ave. Like, I was just telling them all the homies from New York, they came deep. I'm talking about North Carolina, Denver, Atlanta, everybody came. Jersey, deep, bro. They don't know the hood, but they coming to see what's going on. They hanging out with us, but I'm telling them, it's serious. A car pull up, get off, and keep going. So when I tell them that, everybody listening, woo, that's right, 3, woo, woo. I'm like, all right. So I walk off. 15, 20 minutes later, you bop, 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 bop. Everybody running, crawling under cars and shit. You feel me? But I just warned y'all and told y'all, warning coming before destruction. I know this shit. I lived this shit already. I've been through all that shit, hanging out in the front, trying to be that nigga, trying to be seen. You know what I'm saying? Nah, fuck that. We play the backfield now. Yeah. I done been did all that. So I'm just warning y'all and telling y'all how it go. Somebody else ain't going to tell y'all. They want y'all to be on the front line and look good. Just, you know what I'm saying? Be ornaments, T-hats and all of that. Be an ornament. Be out there. Nigga like me gonna say, be careful, watch out. If you gonna do it, this how you gonna do it, the safe way.
Right.
Or you could do it the dumb way.
I mean, yeah, because I, you know, people hit me up and be like, oh, I saw you in this neighborhood, in this video, whatever. I'm like, yeah, but you realize that we pulled up for like an hour and a half, you know, and I came with a bunch of people, and if anything, you know, it's like, you have no reason to just be kicking it in those areas if you're not from that area. And even if you're from that area, the people from the area don't want to be kicking it there outside on the block all day.
Because they know what goes on, bro. Right. A real one.
Exactly.
Only a cloud chaser or somebody that want fans will hang out on the front line with you and put you in harm's way.
Right.
Out there banged up with 20 people on camera, not knowing. A nigga come through there and air everybody out and keep going. You know what I'm saying? Instead of being wise and smart and taking it to somewhere of being civil. You know what I mean? Being smart about it if you're going to do it. You know what I'm saying? That's save yourself. If you don't want to save your kid, save yourself. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of fallen homies out here. They just be not paying attention, bro. Like,
it's a whole thing,
like you
too.
Said.
Like, there's mad hood vlogs now where you see random-ass people that are not from here that pull up without anybody vouching for them or nothing, and they pull up and just start trying to conversate with different gang members on the street.
But then that's how they get hurt, bro. And robbed. Man. All those dudes went down there to visit Nip. Niggas was getting robbed over there. Because they don't know. They don't know, y'all. This is not no tourist area over here on Crenshaw and Lawson.
Right.
My hood is definitely not no tourist area. Ain't no tourists finna come over there. Ain't no cameramans unless you come over there. You good, bro. Alex always in the set doing my interviews, bro.
Right.
But ain't nobody coming over there to our hood, like, showing us that attention, like, over there. It's a tourist area now, so they get all the attention. But back then, it's not. It was rough just like mine's, bro. His death made it that way, like, made people want to come and see. But they don't know what they really coming to see.
Mm.
The police ain't going to be there 24/7, man, to protect that shit. And you still got creepers and crawlers running around them alleys through there ready to... get somebody high off crystal or something. You know what I'm saying? You still got homies doing that shit, bro, that don't respect the protocol because they high off drugs and they blame it on drugs. Nowadays, you got homies robbing they own, they big homie family members because they high off drugs, not knowing.
Have you seen the like that effect get way worse during your life in terms of people just being all fucked up on drugs?
Yes, bro, because it wasn't in the black community like that.
Mm.
Bro, that shit is eating the homies up in the prisons and the county jail. It's taking away from they cripping, man, a whole lot. They squabbles, all that shit, bro. I seen them, and I was hurt behind that shit, bro. Because a lot of good dudes fall over that and end their career. But just end their career, bro. Like, a lot of fools was in the county and dead off that shit. Good niggas.
And it's crazy to think back to, you know, 60s or 70s. You just didn't really have that tearing like that. The community. Well, you know, it was crack before it was meth, but now it's meth, fentanyl, all this pills, bro. All that shit.
Yeah, bro, and people don't be knowing what they taking with them pills. All that shit is mixed in there.
Oh, yeah.
I don't fuck with none of that shit. I just smoke good weed, man.
Mm.
That's it. Good weed, man, and I may have a sip or two.
Mm-hmm.
I don't drink hard. I fuck with champagne and shit, but I be very careful about, you know what I'm saying, my life and how I'm living because I want to be here for my kids.
Mm.
Real talk.
Okay, final question or last question that's to the front of my mind. You said there was a clip where you were basically saying that you were upset with the idea of me interviewing Charleston White, which hasn't actually happened, but why are you feeling that way?
I didn't say that about you.
Oh, that's what it's titled as on YouTube. I felt like I heard you say that.
Nah, hell nah. I was talking about, what's his name? Was it Say Cheese he was on?
He was on Say Cheese and Vlad. I didn't interview him. I told him I would, but he ain't been that way.
I was talking about one of them.
Okay.
It wasn't you, bro.
Okay.
No, it wasn't you, bro.
Well, I was just talking about
being a Crip idol and all of that. Mm-hmm. You had the other dude on here, like,
oh, okay.
He a Crip idol for them, you know what I'm saying? As being a Crip and want to be turned up and that guy and show the kids he the super Crip. And that's for them. That's what they want their little kids to see in their community. Then power to them, no disrespect, but a lot of their big homies is not going to vouch for that shit. You know what I'm saying? They want responsible homies and responsible Crips showing kids how to do this shit. All right, you got an option, like I always say. You could do it. If you're going to do it right.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not, go play basketball. Go play football. Stay in school. You don't got to come to the set and you don't got to get put on to hang out with your best friend just to smoke weed or just to come to their functions because you're a square, you're scared you're going to get packed out. So you want to get put on so I won't get packed out. You can still, and I won't even call them squares. I call them good dudes and good females because females is out here getting shot and killed at these functions too, bro, for nothing. Just being there. Just wanting to be around, you know what I'm saying? But you don't got to. You always got an option. Do good. If you're going to fuck up, fuck up. If you're going to fuck up, do it the right way. Don't get yourself hurt. Don't put nobody else in harm's way, man. And I'm talking about to every gang, bro. That's to everybody. That's just keeping the gangster, you feel me? I can't get on here and be a saint and just say, oh, it's always do football. Nah, because that's what we battling right now. The gang shit, you feel me?
But if we had had a camera in your face in the prime of you really being in the streets, it wouldn't have probably been that different than some of the people that you're talking about, right?
Back then,
you might not have been as outrageous, but it would have been a little bit outrageous.
I was young then, so I wasn't. I was a kid, so I wasn't thinking about saving no lives. You feel me? I was trying to take them. Back then, I was trying to earn my own name, Lil Sody Khan. I didn't want to be under my daddy, Big Sody. I didn't want to have go under his reputation. You feel me? So I always was on my shit, like. I never got DP'd a day in my life because I always hung around older homies that was older than me. I was able to learn and watch them DP people and see what not to do and always be on my gangster shit and keep my gangster hand firm and never fold.
But when you're seeing other people get DP'd, you're not thinking like, damn, like I'm supposed to do this too?
What, whoop his ass?
No, like get your ass beat.
Hell no, I ain't getting my ass beat. I'm going to stay out the way. I'm watching. I'm trying to become a G.
Right.
I'm trying to become a G that they look up to. Now I'm becoming a G. So now let me flip the table. Turn it. Boom. And now let me tell the kids it's an option. Go rap. Become a rap star. Become that basketball star, bro. It ain't nothing wrong with it. You ain't got to be the toughest man in the world, because a lot of gangbangers are snitches and they not tough. And they use guns. Some of them can't fight. You feel me? That's why they use guns. So it's okay to be good. You feel me? You got to balance it. I always balance mine. I pray. I go to church sometimes. I miss church. I don't go every, you know what I mean? But I step in there. I pray. I got to balance it because I got to give God his, bro. He the one wake me up every day. He the one, the reason why I walked the pavement in my set all them years and still here. But I still don't want to do, in my heart, I'd be like, if I do too much good, the devil may try to take me out of this world. So I got shot two different times. Maybe while I was doing too good, like me trying to be a saint. So I'd be like, damn, you feel me? That's how I look at it. I don't know how you look at it. So I just try to balance my good and my bad. You know what I mean? I'm not out here robbing and killing and doing all that no more. I probably do a couple of sins or something like that. When I ain't supposed to church people.
A few little light sins.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, bro, but yeah, I'm out here just being a little salty, man, and just trying to hit these platforms, man, and let people know it's an option. Let the kids know it's an option, man. It ain't all about this banging shit. Become a rapper like me. You know what I'm saying? If you ain't an athlete, you know what I'm saying? Write a rap. Sit down and do something. This was my hobby in jail. What? I didn't have nothing to do in jail but work out and fight and fuck up. But when I start writing music, it took a lot of time on my day to where I was on my bunk, to where I ain't in niggas' faces and hearing the bullshit making me mad. I took that shit so serious, bro. From YA to prison, I started rapping in prison. That was my first crowd. Essays, the Woods, and the Blacks, and the Paisas. That was my first crowd I ever rapped in front of, bro. And when I got that, my first applause, I was like, damn, they like this shit.
That's a tough audience, probably, too.
I'm finna get out and do this shit then. If y'all like this, because, man, what? I could have sworn niggas was going to be like, man, that shit, what? Yeah, get that fool up out of here, homes. Right. You hear me? Nah, they fuck with me, though.
Right.
Oh, the real. But, you know, shout out to all the homies in prison, man. Love y'all, man. Come home, man. Do right. You feel me? Real talk.
For sure. Anything the people out there should be looking out for? Anything that you want to make sure they know?
I got a lot of singles out. I got one called In Love with a Gangster with Joe Moses. I got a single out called Caught Up with Young Jeezy on the intro. I got shit with Freddie Gibbs out right now. I'm doing a mixtape right now. I got one, I'm doing it with the homie from Atlanta, Wildlife. Shout out to Wildlife 100. And I'm doing a mixtape with my artist King D right now. That's on some like Gibbs and like Spitta type shit. You know what I'm saying? Like that type of shit. Benny the Butcher. Like, okay. I'm just switching it up. Like, I always switch it up, bro. That's the good thing about being universal. You feel me? I sing too. I sing like I could blow, bro.
Okay.
A lot of people don't, they just look at me as that gangster. Like, so then when they do hear me sing, they be like, damn. Even the big homies, like, even at the homie funeral, I sung and shit, like, at his candlelight. And a lot of OGs did not know that, like, I could sing, you feel me? It broke them down, you feel me?
Yeah.
But yeah, bro, look out for that. I'm going back on the road with Afro Man. So be looking out for me going back on the road, on busting these shows down. But look out for my new tapes, though. These new tapes, it's different. It's different, bro. My new music is different, bro. You're going to love that shit.
For sure. Do we have the invite to pull up to your neighborhood?
Yeah, bro, anytime.
Let's do it then.
Y'all gonna come?
For sure. Tell AD. Get on AD's ass. He'll remind me. You know?
Man, AD, bro. Well, two C, sometimes three, bro.
You know how tricky he is? When we went to the Nickersons, he wore who was it? G Perico had the shirt that said, this is a blue t-shirt,
yeah,
but it says it in red on a black shirt.
Yeah, that's so what, trying that's to put what he red wore. In here.
I'm like, you're really trying to play both sides right here.
Nah, bro. It's just sometimes, bro, niggas ain't super Crips. I don't give a fuck who you are, bro. You get touched. So, I mean, it's just paying a little homage. That's all that was.
Right, yeah.
Like, they know I'm a real Crip, famous Crip. Some niggas may hate me or because I'm famous and they not, you know what I mean? But let me just play a little homage. Let me put a little red on, like, you know what I'm saying? They gonna look at me like, oh, blood got some red on, okay. it's all good. Like, you know what I'm saying? It just eased the lion down some. You know what I mean? If you came over there blue down, they'd be like, ah, blood. Like,
oh, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
That'd be it's a little different. Weird, man.
But shout out to AD, man. You need to, yeah, come to the
Let's
set,
go.
Bro.
I'm down.
Come to the set because V-Lad and all them niggas, they not coming to the set. Just Alex, he the only one, bro. Why? Oh, Street Gang, Toons. I had brought Toons. Them niggas from Texas, bro. They run that shit. The podcast out there.
Okay.
Him and Spliff, Uncle Spliff. I brought them out here.
Oh, that's what's up.
They the only ones like going to these hoods now. They coming out here going to all the hoods. It's like, it's don't be afraid. This your city. This what you do. Like, you the king of this shit right now, bro. No, real talk, bro. That's
Appreciate
why I salute
that.
You, bro. Like, you the king of this shit right now. And I even told Alex, like, I'm going on No Jumper, bro. I'ma shout you out and shit. And I'm happy that you said, shout out to Woo Woo. You know what I'm saying? Because that let me know you fuck with him.
Yeah, I mean, he's been doing his thing for a long ass time. Like, it's a crazy feeling when I am about to interview a rapper and I go back and just see shit from 2011 and
that
shit
from
like that.
He did. You know what I'm saying? But you should pull him on here, man.
Oh,
he got
idea,
all
yeah.
the fucking stories.
That's a good idea.
Because he
I'm
saved
down.
My life with that case. They tried to bring him in on me.
Really?
Yeah. He told him it was a conflict of interest.
Wow.
He see, because he could have went up there and went in on me. I'm that nigga over there, bro.
Right.
Back then, at that time, he knew it. All my interviews and shit, Street Game, bro, he know what's going on. He do his researches and all that. From Juvenile Hall, all that, he going to ask you everything. You be like, what the fuck? So, you know what I'm saying, bro? He a good person, but he out here on his own doing this shit. Mm. Real talk, bro.
For sure.
But you the king. Salute, bro.
I'll begrudgingly accept it, I guess.
Come on, man. You got to accept that
you
shit.
You don't want to be the king, man. They kill kings.
Ah, so what you want
to
be?
Look what they did to Jesus, bro.
Yeah, they crucified him.
That's why you don't want to be the king.
They crucified him, man. In a hateful way. But it was always a snake. Snake, man. It was that snake, man. You know what I'm saying? That betrayed him. If he had all solid ones around him, he wouldn't have never been betrayed.
That's real.
But it's always going to be a snake in your garden when you got bigger real estate or a big estate or whatever. It's going to be snakes in your garden somewhere.
That's why we got to be
careful
who we let around
us. You don't
want to
be the king, the legend, bro.
I'm just trying to do a good job.
Be the legend, bro. You look like old boy from 300, though.
Who? Oh, my God.
Spartan!
I'll take that.
Yeah, that's my boy on the set. Leonidas. That's your new name, bro. Hey, Adam, a.k.a. Leonidas.
I'm going to go rewatch that.
That's my
that was a
shit,
classic,
bro.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Hell, when he kicked up boy in the thing.
Damn, I seen that in the theater like damn near 20 years ago. That's
I love
crazy.
That movie. All of them, even to the last one where his wife took over.
That was probably 2005 that I seen that shit in the theater. That was a long time ago.
Yeah, bro.
Fuck. Little Sody.
Respect,
love, bro.
Man.
Appreciate you. Respect.
Thank you for coming out sick, too, bro. Big
oh, yeah.
respect.
I had to do it.
I had to let everybody know he was sick, y'all.
Bro.
He really was. So please shout him out, man.
I
That's
slept
why he
for
like
a
that.
30-hour block to get ready to be able to do two interviews today. And I'm going to go home and
pass
out again.
He didn't even smoke. I thank you, bro, for coming today.
No. Yeah.
I really did. Because I was kind of really discouraged. I folded up in the blanket, huh, bro?
I wasn't going to let you down, bro.
No, nah, my girl.
This is what I'm here for.
No, nah, my girl had seen your story.
Yeah.
So she was like, I don't mean to disrespect you. I mean, disappoint you, babe. But Adam, he's sick. He said, this is one of the first ones he had ever met. I said, hell no.
No, because
I looked. I was like,
This is the first time I've been sick in 5 years. So, like, damn. All the interviews I've done, I never had to really deal with this. This was really, I was only sick for one day. And I kind of
But thank you for coming, bro. Yeah. Let people know you were sick today, bro, so they respect. They got to respect that shit.
Smash the like if you respect that.
Yeah, straight like that, man. I love you, bro. Thank you.
Much love, bro. Appreciate you. Lil Sody, No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. Check us out on YouTube and Patreon. Like, comment, subscribe, nojumper.com if you want to support. Appreciate y'all.